Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about two ways to slow time down. Two ways to slow time down. I once had a fitness mentor as I was studying about health and fitness for my personal training gym business, who told me there's two ways to make somebody go faster. Two ways to make somebody go faster. You can practice training at really, really slow speeds. I think of like an isometric hold. For example, an exercise most people are familiar with would be a plank, where you're just holding still. Or you can train at really fast speeds, where you're going as fast as you can go. Both of those can slow time down. Getting still, think about getting still and just listening or meditating makes time feel like it's taken a long time. We talked about over the last couple of days, time is relative. We all experience time differently during the day. Time can be sped up. Time can be slowed down. One of the ways to make time slow down is for us to slow down ourselves. Taking the time to wait in God's doorway. We talk about often Proverbs chapter 8, blessed is the man who waits in God's doorway, who listens for him. Taking the time to slow down and to get still each day, which is one of our three fundamentals that we talk about regularly. And then on the other side of that, imagine you're running as fast as you possibly can go, but you're staying calm and relaxed still while you're running, but you're still working hard. You're still going as fast as you can go. Time also feels like it's moving slowly. 20 seconds feels like it's a long time when you're really going as fast as you can go. For any of you guys that have done workouts in the gym, 20 seconds of going all out is a very long time when you're going fast. It's in the middle where time often gets away from us. Between the slow and the fast, it's in the middle where time often gets away from us. And so what I want to talk about today, we're going to be taking communion over this today, of getting good at our two fundamentals number three and number four that we talk about regularly on these daily communion meditations. Slowing down, waiting, tuning in for God's leading, waiting for his direction, waiting until you know which way to go. Seeking him on what his will is, what his direction is, what path am I supposed to take? Which way am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And then once you know, attacking it at full speed. But we also talked about over the last week, being quick, but not hurrying, staying calm, staying composed, going full speed, being quick, but not hurrying. And putting those two things together of waiting and going fast, going slow and also going fast. You have to have this combination in life of being able to do both of these things. So we're going to get started with prayer, and then we're going to go through our four fundamentals here. And then we'll take our time of communion for today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time here together. I pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better. That the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to go through our four fundamentals, our other half of prayer, before we get into our time of communion. Jesus says, or the Apostle Paul says, we should be examining ourselves before we take communion. It says, many of you are weak and sick and die early because they fail to take communion the right way. We should be examining ourselves, doing it out of honor and reverence for God, never letting familiarity with it breed contempt for it. Don't get too familiar with it. Keep bringing your presence and your joy and your energy and this time of communion with God. Never take that for granted with Him. But our four fundamentals. Fundamental number one, getting positioned in the light. God has released us from darkness. He's transferred us into the light, into the kingdom of Jesus. And what's in that kingdom? In Christ, God has given us everything that He has. What's in there? We call it this pipeline of living water, these rivers of living water. God has given us everything He has in Christ. What do I mean, everything He has? Everything He has. His power, His love, His spirit, His mind, His wisdom, His knowledge, His peace and joy and faith and kindness and gentleness and blessing and favor. He's given us His health and His energy. Think about His health, His energy, His peace, His joy, not our own. He's given us His time, His presence, His finances, everything He has, He's put it in Christ. Everything we need. God is supposed to be our source of everything. We got to receive this from God. Learn how to get it flowing through us out into the world. Our first step is getting positioned in the light to receive it. This is the on-off switch that turns on the supply. Think about like a light switch. It's either on or it's off. It's either positioned in this kingdom, positioned in the light, or we're not. How do we take our position? Well, it's the forgiveness of sins that brings us in first. Receiving that forgiveness from God, forgiving yourself. Often we beat ourselves up and condemn ourselves. We've got to forgive ourselves. And then we've got to walk in that same forgiveness with other people that God has given us. That grace and mercy and forgiveness has got to flow through us. To be positioned in the light is to be positioned in love. God is light. God is love. To be in the light is to be in love. To receive that love from God that surpasses all knowledge. To receive that love from Him. Many people talk about, oh yeah, God loves you, God loves me, but they've not experienced His love. To receive that love from Him, to experience His love, which is greater than anything we know. And then to begin to learn to love yourself the way that He's loved you, and learn to love other people the way that He's loved you. To walk in that grace and love and forgiveness with other people just like He's done for you. And all of this is received by faith from God. And one of the greatest expressions of faith is thanksgiving and praise. One of the greatest things you can do to keep the lights on all day is stay positioned in thanksgiving and praise all day long. You're either in thanksgiving and praise or you're not. Either in thanksgiving or you're complaining. One or the other. Lightness, light or darkness. Lightness, light or darkness. Which one are we positioned in? And then we've got to magnify that light, our second fundamental. To magnify is to make bigger, it's to make greater. And it's all about what we're focused on, what we're concentrating on. what we're making bigger in our lives. Are we making God and His word and His love and His faithfulness and all He's done for us in Christ? Are we making that bigger? Or are we making the problems and issues bigger than God? It's all about what we're magnifying, what we're thinking about, what we're meditating on, what we're talking about, what we're pondering and rolling over in our minds all day long. And the more we magnify something, the bigger it grows on the inside of us. And as we magnify God, we magnify His word, give His word a bigger place and priority in our life. We magnify His steadfast, unfailing love. He wants to help us. We magnify His faithfulness, that He's always on time, that He always fulfills His promises. We magnify His power and His mighty works, that nothing's impossible for Him. Magnifying all He's already done in your life. Magnify all He's already done for us in Christ. We magnify this treasure that He put on the inside of us. We magnify our righteousness in Christ. He made us right with God and holy and perfect in His sight, and He wants to help us. We magnify those things. It expands the capacity where that living water can flow through you at greater levels. It gives God a bigger place to work in you and through you in your life. But He does give us the choice. We could choose to magnify the issues and the problems, all the things that are wrong, all the ways that people have wronged us, all the things that could have or should have or would have happened. And we can choose to meditate on them, to stew on them, just to let them marinate in our minds all day long. And they grow bigger and bigger on the inside of us. And you've probably had this experience that the more you meditate on some issue or problem or way somebody wronged you, what happens? That problem grows bigger on the inside. You can feel that pressure increasing on the inside of you. And the more stressed out, the more hopeless, the further away from the solution you become, the more confused you become. The more you talk about it, the more you meditate on it, the more you roll it over in your mind. Because the solution's found in the light. And the more you magnify it, the further you're going into the darkness, the further you're getting away from the problem or from the solution. And so it's learning to recognize the symptoms of what I'm magnifying and where I'm positioned. If we're positioned in darkness, everything feels heavy and oppressive and confusing, like you're trapped or you're stuck and you don't know which way to go. It feels hopeless. Then there's the fear and the stress and the worry, the dread of the future. Usually we're lacking presence. We're usually living in regret over something in the past, or we're living in fear or dread of an uncertain future. But we're positioned in the light. Number one, there's rest. There's rest for your soul. I was working on some things last night, and we haven't talked about that aspect of being positioned in the light a lot lately. I felt like God was wanting me to start highlighting that aspect. When you're positioned in the light, there's rest. There's rest, and there's security in that light, because darkness can't enter that light. Everything feels light and free and easy. And all of a sudden, this energy begins to come into your spirit. When you're magnifying darkness, you can feel your energy levels begin to lower. When you get positioned in the light, all of a sudden, your energy begins to rise up. That faith begins to rise up on the inside of you. And it begins to urge you and compel you to take action on the things that you know to do. Then there's the peace and the joy, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that joy of the Lord that is your strength. Usually we're more aware of God's presence with us. And then this beautiful thing happens, which leads us to our third fundamental. All of a sudden, when you get positioned in the light, it's like tuning a radio receiver, and your ability to hear and discern God's leading and direction in your life gets so much more clear. Which is what we're talking about today, are two ways to slow time. One of them is waiting. Slowing down and waiting. This is a habit I had to learn. I had to work on both sides of these, because I had a habit of taking action too quickly on some things before I knew what to do. And then I also had a habit of procrastinating on some things that were building up in my mind. I had magnified the issues and problems as something bigger than they really were, and they become overwhelming, and then I begin to procrastinate. So I actually had to work on both sides of these in my own personal life. Waiting on God. Waiting in his doorway. Wait till you know what to do. You begin to tune into him. You begin to seek him. You begin to seek. What is your will? You may say, all right, I'm having these problems. We're going to have problems and issues in our lives. And it's choosing to bring them to God and to magnify him because he's got the solution. And recognizing those symptoms. And whenever I'm off track, I can turn it back around. And the good news is, this amazing gift of grace, it only takes 1 second to turn it back around and get positioned back in the light again. So you get good at recognizing those symptoms. But then as you bring these issues and problems to him, you begin to magnify him, and then you begin to wait on him. It may happen sometimes quickly. Sometimes you may have to wait a little while. What is the leading and the direction he's got for you? What is the step that he's asking you to take? And you wait until you know. And I've learned this. I had some times where I didn't wait until I knew, and I began to take action anyway, and I got ahead of God, and then I had to go back and redo a bunch of stuff. Had to do it again. Had to go back and do it the right way because I didn't know yet. Waiting for God to show you. If you'll wait, he'll show you. Every single time has been my experience. If you'll wait. Sometimes there might be some things you got to understand first before you can truly know what you need to do. And he's got to teach you some things first. Wait till you know. And how do you know? You'll have this internal knowing on the inside that, yep, that's it. You have these aha moments. You'll have these just internal knowing. I don't know how to fully describe it, but you have an internal knowing that you know, all right, that's it. I got it. And then you got to put it into action right away. Be quick to put it into action. Two ways to slow time. Wait, slow down. And then when you know, put it into action quickly. Once you get that step from him, do you put it into action quickly? Do you take action immediately? Because what I've learned is the longer you let it wait, the more it builds up in your mind and you begin to procrastinate. Taking action immediately, attack it at full speed. But full speed, staying calm and under control. Be quick, but don't hurry, like we talked about this week already. That's our fourth fundamental, putting into practice the things that you know to do. And then doing them, trusting that God's with you. He's going to help you to execute those things. He's going to give you the leading and direction, but he's also going to help you to execute. Keep your eyes focused on him. He's going to help you to execute, to do the things the right way. Your role is to execute and show up with a good attitude, and he's going to help you. So we're going to take communion over this today, asking for God's help. So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that you are so faithful. That if we'll seek you, you will show us which way to go. You will show us what to do. We're asking for your help today to help us to get better at these two sides of waiting for your leading and direction in our lives. And then when we know what to do, to help us to put it into action, put it into practice quickly. And all of a sudden, we begin to get in better control of our time. Get in better control of our time. We can speed it up. We can slow it down. Time is about control. God's given us the ability to both speed up and to slow down time. Maybe another communion meditation, we may be talking about how to speed up time to accelerate results. But today, one of the things we're talking about, or the main thing we're talking about, is the ability to get that time under control, to slow it down. And when time slows down, but you begin to accelerate and you begin to go faster, you get this compounded result where time is going slower, but you're going faster, and you can get more done than you thought you could get done at a faster rate. So, Father, we're just so thankful for you. You loved us so much, you were willing to send your one and only Son to die for us. So we could have you in our lives. We could have life. We could have your leading and your direction and your help. Just in the everyday things of life. Thankful that Jesus was willing to go through what he went through for us. And thank you that the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he said, "Take it. Receive it," that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. That the cup of God's wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus so that we could have the cup of his blessing. In Corinthians, it says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. And that's a big deal, because in the case of a will or an estate or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. Nothing happens until you proclaim the death. So every time we take communion, we're proclaiming his death, saying that, hey, this inheritance, this connection, this new covenant with God has been activated. It's alive and active in our lives. Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, at the Last Supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God. I think this beautiful, amazing thing happens. It's been my experience. When you wait on him, when you slow down and you wait on him, and you get that word from him, you get that leading and direction from him, and you know that you know that you know. Then you begin to take action immediately, and you see it unfold beautifully in your life. Just helps you to know him better, to know his heart and his kindness and his goodness, his love, his grace, just to know him better. Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's about walking it out today. We just ask God for his help. Let's stay positioned in the light. Keep magnifying the light. Keep paying attention to those symptoms of light or darkness. And stay tuned in for his leading. When you don't know what to do, when you got a problem or an issue, or you're not sure which way to go, ask him. And then wait for him to show you. And then when you know, let's attack at full speed, trusting that he's right there with you, helping you to execute. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.